Amen. I think church looked beautiful driving up this morning. I don't know how many people noticed that. But we thank God that finally, we are seeing the end of the journey. To God and God alone be the glory. Amen. So this morning, we are going to the fourth church. We have been doing a series on the seven churches of Revelation. We've talked about the church in Ephesus. We've talked about the church in Smyrna. We've talked about the church in Pergamum. And today we're talking about the church at Thyatira. But before we go into that, I would like to remind us, for those of you that have the app, if you don't have the app yet, you can download the app. Go to your app store, go to the iPhone app store, whatever that is called, but Play Store for us Samsung people. You know, you go to your Play Store, you will find it there. Can you please put up the image of the app? So you go there, you can download the app. The sermon note for today is already posted on the app. But as we continue today, I want to ask a question. Because I think many people here today are like me. How many of us have written or received a handwritten letter in the past 1 year? My hand is down because I haven't. You've written. Okay. Anybody? You've written a handwritten letter to somebody. Oh, that's good. Okay. We have some weird people in church today. Because we don't write anymore. You know, it's your job. Oh, you see? It's his job to do so. That's why he did. You know, but times have changed. It doesn't mean you're weird. I'm just kidding by that. You know, times have changed. We don't write letters anymore. We type letters. You know, or you email, you send an email, you send a text message, or something of that nature. In fact, for kids today, they even do Snapchat. You know, you can record yourself. That one I don't know yet. You know, you can record yourself, or you do live video. You know, my mother-in-law calls me from Nigeria on WhatsApp video. I'm like, what? 90-year-old woman. I'm like, what's going on? You know, she's still high tech. You know, so that's how we communicate today, right? We don't write letters any longer. But listen to this. The resurrected Christ took time and said, I'm going to write letters to seven churches. The Bible tells us something very important. It says, those things that have been written for our learning. For our learning. And they have been written also for our examples. You know, so the things that we're reading about the seven churches, they are one, for our learning, and two, for our examples. So we're going to take the text today from Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 18 to 29. 18 to 29. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. This is a church that is making progress in their faith and in their walk with the Lord. It says your first works, your works now are better than when you first started. But verse 20, it says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Because you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality. and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. Verse 25. But hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. As I also have received from my father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So I said the things that are written for examples, and the scriptures are there. Romans 15:4. It says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the peace, the patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. And 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. There are some of the things that we have read today that I'm not going back to. So what I'll do is I'll just quickly go over them, and then I'll come back to the note. Praise the Lord. So verse 23, it says something there. It says, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Very quickly, it's important for us to note here. Number one, God knows your mind. Listen, Satan cannot read your mind. Oh, he says, because Satan knew what I was going to do, that's why he made me do it. No, he can't read your mind. But the Bible is telling us that God knows my mind and my heart. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows what I'm planning. He knows about all of my scheme. He knows my motives. And no man can hide from him. No man. You see, the church at this time, according to Bible history, this particular church had been around for about 40 years. So the teaching of Jezebel that is referred to here has not only has first generation people, it has second generation. So the people that have believed a lie, the people that have believed in the immoral life, the sexual sins, they are passing it on to new believers that were coming to their church. And God is saying, not only will I punish those that started this, those that received it would also be punished. This is important. You say, oh, I really didn't want to do it. It's because I saw him doing it, that's why I did it. It won't be an excuse. So that's what he said. He said the ones that did it first, they were punished. And the ones that came after them, that saw them doing it and followed them and joined them in evil, they also will be punished. And then in that verse, finally, he says, I know your works and I will reward you according to your work. Listen to me, people of God. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. If you sow love, you will reap love. If you sow hatred, you will reap hatred. If you sow division, you will reap division. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. Amen? So he says their reward is going to be according to their work. So guess what? If I have no work, what's my reward? It's zero. You know, because you multiply nothing by nothing, you get nothing. Hallelujah. You know, so now that we have that out of the way, let's go back to our note. And then in verse 25, very good, it encourages them, say, but hold fast to what you have till I come. Friends, the truth of the matter is, I'm careful to say this. It will sound bad, but it's the truth. Things are not going to get better. Amen? Evil now is at its peak in the history of mankind. And it's going to get worse. Men will continue to invent and develop ways to practice evil to the highest degree. When I was growing up, when it comes to pornographic material and things like that, you have to look very hard to find it. Today is right there on your phone. There's a video I'm going to show us today. I changed my mind that I wasn't going to change the video because of the end of that video, you know, until my technical people helped me cut it off, you know, because it's from YouTube. You know, so it's a good video, but at the end of it, they are advertising nonsense. So evil is more readily available. And now evil has a stamp of approval by the government. So when the government says a man and a man can marry, in quote, we've talked about that can never be marriage, or a woman and a woman can be married, they have rubber stamped it and say it's okay. It's okay. So anyone that has any kind of guilt before that this thing I'm doing is wrong, guess what? They are okay with it now. Why? Because the society, or at least the government, says it's okay. It's okay, but it's not okay. All right? So let's go back to our study for today. Listen, I've told us each of these letters that Jesus wrote to those churches can very easily be divided into four parts. Four C's, basically. Number one is the commendation. Number two is the condemnation. And it follows that pattern in all of the letters, except a couple. You know, like the one we saw with the church in Smyrna, that all they had was commendation. There was no condemnation for them. They were all around good. May that be your story in the name of Jesus. Okay? So you have the commendation, the condemnation, you have the consequences, and then you have the consolation. So let's look at this church. What were the commendations that Jesus gave this church? And listen to this. Remember, scriptures are written for our learning. So whatever commendation we see with their lives, we can aspire to have those things in our lives because Jesus said it's okay, right? So the letter we are reading is like, it's not like, Jesus actually wrote a letter to that church. Amen? You get a note from Jesus. You get a note from Jesus. And as it was written to them, it is written to you. So when you read this, read it as Jesus took time out of his busy day and sent you a note. And this is what he said, particularly concerning this church. He says, I know your works. I know your love. I know your faith. And I know your patience. Amen? A number of things is said here. Number one is their work. And part of their work was their love, their service, their faith, and their patience. So the question I must ask myself when I read things like this in scripture is, what is my work? What is the work that Jesus is commending them? What work am I doing right now? The work you are doing, is it commendable? Can Jesus say the same thing of your, you know, if I say, I know your works, right? It can mean two things. I know your works can mean I know all the evil you are doing. right? And I know your words, I mean, I know all the good stuff that you're doing because I know, right? But here, very clearly, is a positive remark. He's saying, I know your works. I know your love. I know your service. I know your faith, and I know your patience. I'm going to skip love because love is what I really want to focus on of their commendation today. But let's look at service. So the service I render is important to God. Brother Victor, where is he? Where's Victor? Oh, okay. He spoke to us at the workers' meeting this morning, and he talked about excellence in service. Good word, good word. What I do, the service that Christ is commending cannot be a service that was done shabbily. They must have rendered a good service for him to commend them. So what kind of service are there? Service to humanity. Amen? It's not just limited to the four walls of the church. You know, one of the reasons I think the church is losing its grip upon the society is because the church has grown very selfish. You know, it's all, we are enriching. Enrich is what we do. We're reaching out to ourselves. We're reaching out to ourselves. It's all about us. Oh, come to our program. Come to our Sunday service. Come to our concert. Come to our Holy Ghost service. Come to our this. Come, you know, it's all about us. It's all about us. And this is, I believe, is not what Christ is talking about here. You know, somebody in scripture that was reported to come from Thyatira was a lady called Lydia, the seller of purple in the book of Acts. And that was a generous lady. That was a generous lady. I believe she's an example of their service. Part of their service was a service of generosity. Amen? He said, I know thy works. I know your love. I know your service, and I know your faith. You know, I think one of the things, the pillars of faith that has been bastardized is faith. Because when people hear faith, it's faith to get something. You know, so when you talk about faith, you're talking about, I used my faith and the door opened. I used my faith. That faith simply means wholehearted confidence in God. So what the scripture is saying about them here is, you trust, I know how much you trusted in me. Let me ask us a very important question this morning. Do you trust God? Many people don't. Many people don't. You know what you trust. So when there's a situation, something happens, what is your first instinct? What's your first reaction? Where do you run to? Who do you run to? What's the first thing that crosses your mind? Oh, I know what I'm going to do. You know, first thing in the morning, I'll make sure I call such and such and such, this and that, you know. Or you have a situation of need, you begin to calculate your salary, how your salary, you know. We don't run to God. We don't ask God anything. We live our life and then we talk about faith. We live, for the most part, most people live their life without God. When I say without God, I mean without the influence of God. Would you ask him, Lord, should I or should I not? You know, there's a need, huge need, for real. What do? You start running around, who will give me money, can I borrow money, whatever. But do I run to God and say, Lord, like we have been told this morning, in him, everything is what? Yes and amen. In him, everything is yes and amen. Do I go back and say, Lord, in you, everything is yes and amen. Here is the need. What do I do? Listen, a lot of times when we think we need money, it's not money that we need. Amen? God just speaks to you, gives you an idea, call this person, you know, or leads you to pray. And as you are praying, God is speaking to somebody else to meet that need in your life. Amen? Okay, I think it was Brother Tuboson that was saying the other day. He said, Pastor, they said they don't give people money in America for free. He said, they gave me money. Somebody gave me money. Somebody gave me, and it's true. There's a lady here. She's moved back to Nigeria now. She used to be here. Sister Doris, some of you will know her. The first car she bought, I still remember very, very clearly. It was a Suzuki car. The first car she bought, she went to the dealership. Listen to this. She went to the dealership, and as they were negotiating the price, she was short $1,000. A Caucasian male was standing by and wrote a check of $1,000 for her to pick the car up. You know what? That lady, what you may not know about her, that lady at that time was the one, she came and met me and said, Pastor, I would like to clean the church. She was the only one cleaning the church. She will come, sweep, mop, do whatever has to be done. That was just her life. Huh? She was buying the materials for the clean. She was buying the supplies and doing the cleaning. The first car she bought, she said, Pastor, I have never seen a thing like this before. He said, I was short $1,000, and this man, I don't know him from anywhere. In fact, as she was telling me, she still doesn't know the man. She didn't have his information. No, he didn't want anything from her. I said, $1,000, no problem. Told the sales guy, I said, I got this. I wrote a check for $1,000. Your service, your faith, your complete, total confidence and trust in God has meaning and has a reward. Hallelujah. Say, I know your works. I know your love. I know your service. I know your faith. Hallelujah. And I know your patience. And it says all of these things, over time, they have grown. You know, some people, the story is, I remember when they used to be. That's glory. For real? I remember when they used to be. But for this church, the Bible says, God is saying concerning them, he said, now you are better than when you started off. Your love has grown. Your works have grown. Your service has grown. Your faith has grown. Your patience has grown. Everything has grown. He said, now, he says, the last are more than the first. They were making progress. Are you making progress in your faith? The 5 minutes prayer you were praying 5 years ago, are you still praying 5 minutes prayer? I said, God is not wicked. If I just say, Father, 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 help me, help me, help me. Do it, do it, do it. I claim it, I receive it. Amen. I get it. The truth of the matter is everything is already settled in him. So that you are getting it, it does not mean, you know, people judge their life by the progress they are making. So I'm making more money. I have houses. I have this. I have that. It doesn't mean God is with you. Oh, there are people that are the richest people in the world are not saved. So it can be, you can't judge like your life because things are working the way you have planned. I say, therefore, God is with me. It is not a direct correlation. Hallelujah. He commended them. The word works there is a Greek word, ergon, and it means toil. Toil. He said, I see your labor is what he's talking about. I see your toil. I see how you are working. You are sweating for the kingdom. I see your toil. Do you only do what is convenient? Or can it be said that you are toiling for the Lord? You toil in the ministry. Yesterday we had the, what do you call it? The weekend clinic. Please put your hands together for all the medical people and the non-medical support staff. Clap for them, please. Clap, clap. Hallelujah. Very professional people. Very professional. We had a dentist that came. In fact, the dentist said, no, as long as we said it's 12 o'clock, we have to shut down. He said, are there still patients? I'm still ready to see patients. He's not even a member of this church. Amen? He's mommy's son-in-law. Let's put our hands together for mommy too. Mommy Adeniji. He said, are there any more patients that I still need to see because I'm willing to wait. And guess what? He flew in from California yesterday morning. Just got home, dumped his stuff, packed his stuff, and came to church. And if he said, I was tired, are we going to blame him? He just came in from California yesterday morning. And he didn't go to California to go hang out. He was working in California too. He says, I know your works. I know your toil. I know your toil. You know, Dr. Bode said it in passing last week. I don't know if you caught it, you know, but because of his efforts and involvement in our Mexico medical mission, he got a national award from his job. Not because he's working well on the job, for what he did outside of the job. Are you toiling for anything else other than yourself? Because some people's, all of their labor is there any opportunity to make money? Is there money for me there? There's no money, then forget it. Amen. So he said, I know your love. Let's look at that very quickly. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 1 John chapter 7, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Say, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. You know, a guy asked Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, you know, very simple guy. He likes to simplify things. He said, Master, of all the laws, which one is the greatest? Because if you can capture the greatest, then the little ones will not be a problem. You know, he said, which of the law, which one is the greatest? And you know, you need to understand the background, history, and story for you to have a full understanding of this. Each law has so many things attached to it that it was difficult for anybody to obey the law fully. So he said, well, we have seen you as the master. You've done well. He said, which of the law is the greatest? So Jesus said to him, Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, he said, look, the greatest of all the commandments is that you will love the Lord your God. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Listen to this. Can you look up real quick? If I love God with all of my heart, all of it, all. If I love him with all, I have no space left for anything else. That then becomes a guiding principle for me in life. So everything else that I do, I will have to do in the love of God. I have to. Why? Because all that I have in my heart, I have dedicated to his love. So anything that does not flow into him in love like that, I cannot do it. Why? Because all of my heart has been given to love God. All of it. So the reason someone, for example, can be distracted and taken away by something else is because in the first place, you never gave all. Because if I give all, I have nothing left. You know, I have nothing else left, nothing. All of my heart. And Jesus said to him, he said, And the second, he didn't ask him for the second. He didn't ask opinion. But Jesus knew, he knew men. He said, if you say, oh, love with all your God, then he said, okay, in the same vein, the second commandment is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now check this out. So all of my heart has been given to loving God. It means the only way I can love my neighbor is with the love of God. I don't have any special love for anybody any longer. All that I have left is to love them. And this exactly is the problem the church at Thyatira had. If I love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with everything that I got, I love God with it already. It's impossible for me to then engage in sexual immorality with anybody. I praise the Lord. Because you will be looking at your neighbor like your own brother or your own sister, your blood. You cannot do such evil against them. You cannot. You cannot. So he says, the number one greatest commandment, you fulfill that, you fulfill everything else, is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love is the epicenter of our faith. You know, when there's an earthquake, there's a focus of where the earthquake is. In fact, they're projecting that there's going to be a super something earthquake in Los Angeles, and they figure that the epicenter is right there in the city of Los Angeles. You know, so strategy and plan, everything is in place, just futuristically. The epicenter of our faith is love. If there is no love, you don't have any faith. You can't say, I trust God, but I don't have love in me. It's just not possible. The two cannot be said in the same sentence. So very quickly, I said, well, what are some of the attributes of love? Two things that I want to mention and point out very quickly here. Number one, love is a command. You know, this is where I believe we get it wrong. This is where we get it wrong. John chapter 14, verses 15 and 21. John 14, 15 and 21. This is where a lot of us miss it when it comes to love. You say, that person is not lovable. You know why you can think like that? Because you think they have to do something nice for you to love them. Love is a commandment. It's a commandment. So, they post a sign on 410. Speed limit is 65 miles an hour. You say, I'm not feeling 65 miles an hour today. I'm going to do 80. I tried. I got caught. I got a ticket. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It doesn't depend on how you feel. It's not a matter of feeling. So, that I love you is not because you are such a nice person. Is a command that has been placed on me that I must love. Love is a command. Can we say that together? Love is a command. It's a command. It's a command. God is not asking my opinion. Does it look good? Does it smell good? Does it feel good? It doesn't matter how it smells, feels, or looks. Love. 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 The second thing is love is compelling. Love compels you. And that's what the scripture says. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14. It says, for the love of God compels us. The reason I do what I do is not because I like to do it. It's because I am compelled to do it. Because of love. Because of love. You know, the one person that knows me more than anybody else in this whole wide world is my wife. It's the truth. It's the truth. You know, people say, oh, pastor is so friendly, so this, so that. I have to. I have to. If I had a choice, I can be in my house, in my room, doing my own thing from morning till night. If you don't call me, I won't bother. As long as it wouldn't bother you that I didn't call. But I can't. Because love compels me to do certain things. So if I don't see you and I'm calling you, don't say, what's wrong with him? No, I have to. Why? Because love compels me. Love compels me. Love compels me. You know, there are times that you give to a brother or a sister, not because you have an abundance. You know, people are waiting until I will have all that I need, then I will. You will never be able to give. Because the day you hit $1 million business, you make $1 million contract, profit on a contract, that very day, everything about your life has just changed. Is it not the you that I'm looking at now? That day, you will look at your car. You say, this yege-yege car. Eh? Somebody like me should not be driving this yege-yege car. You know? As you are, in fact, before the money lands in your account, you already went to survey all the cars. You say, Navigator. What's better than Navigator? You say, Lamborghini. Maybe that's an over whatever. Because Lamborghini, that's $250,000. You have spent 25% of the money on a car. Then all of a sudden, you say, Alamo Ranch. No, it's not for people like me. Which one is better? Your life just changes immediately. And guess what? Once you up everything like that, guess what? You are back to where you were before. You can't afford anything to give to anybody again. Listen. Cast your mind back. A few years ago, you were making maybe half of what you are making now. You were complaining then. The money is not enough. Okay. They have doubled it now. What are you saying now? The money is not enough. It's priority. Love compels. It compels us. Love compels us to do stuff. Love compels us to do stuff. How do I love? How do I love very quickly? Number one is patience. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. It says, love is patient and love is kind. There's an old saying that is patience that you will use to be a good husband to your wife. A man that doesn't have patience, that marriage cannot last. It's patience. I'm sure some of you, as Pastor Joyce was ministering powerfully this morning, said, how is Pastor coping? It's patience. And because I am still flesh and blood, sometimes I get impatient. Then I have to say, I'm sorry. It's patience. Friends, if you are going to truly love, you are going to have to be patient with that other person. Because everybody is not like you. Say, I can't understand why they are always, he's always, she said, this. You are impatient. Look, okay. Maybe it's because I'm using your example. When I look at my life, how I have proceeded on this journey of faith, God is a patient God, though. He's a patient God. That I can stand here before you and be preaching with everything I have done in his face, in your face that I've done. He's a patient God. He patiently endures with us because he wishes that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of Christ. If God has such patience for us, why can't we have such patience with each other? Why? Patience. You say somebody doesn't know how to talk. I guess over time you learned how to talk. Number two, kindness. Be kind. There's a video that I want to show here about acts of kindness. Acts of kindness. Is it ready?
Hey, what is going on, everybody? Aaron here, and welcome to Top Trending. Coming up are some incredible acts of kindness from the true heroes in our society. We hope you enjoyed the video, and we hope to inspire you to pass on the love to everyone that you can. A dog owner wants to share some tennis balls with random strangers so they can share some special moments and bond with man's best friend. The note reads, "In loving memory of Phoebe, please help yourself to a tennis ball for your dog to enjoy. You may wish to pop it back in the box afterwards for another pooch to enjoy as well. Remember to live each moment just like your dog with unconditional love, loyalty, and happiness." After work, this very giving man takes leftover, uneaten bagels and hands them out to hungry people on the streets. They would otherwise go to waste anyway and go to the garbage, so why not share the bagel love? In a burning house, this firefighter risks his life to save a woman's very close feline friend. A friendly neighbor saves a car interior by covering the windows with a trash bag. Also kind enough, he left a little note saying, "You left your window open, so I'll put a bag over it to keep your interior dry. Have a great day from your friendly neighborhood Gilligan." In this picture, a Japanese community is working together to save a woman who had fell under the train. Everyone quickly acted together and were able to get her out with minimal injuries. A kind college student notices an elderly woman tired of walking and having to stand all the time. He then gets on his hands and knees in the elevator and makes himself a human bench for her. A man spots a rather large turtle struggling to get across the road. He proceeds to get out of his car and carries this little guy to safety. This man saves a beach dolphin and carries it back into deeper water so it can survive and swim away with his family. This woman is running a marathon with the first place runner winning up to $10,000. Although this woman was in first place, she sacrifices all of the prize money to help this disabled man get a little drink of water. After a power outage, this very giving police officer buys meals for over 20 people after their food had gone spoiled and they could no longer eat it. Another police officer notices that a homeless man didn't have any shoes. Instead of walking by like many other people would do, he was kind enough to spend some of his own money and get him a pair of shoes. This ultimate act of kindness is committed when a stranger leaves some extra change in an envelope on a vending machine, treating the next person to use it to a snack and a drink of their choice. This Spanish runner informs his opponent that he has not finished the race just yet. He could have just passed him and won himself, but let him go anyway, not to get the cheap win. This very brave police officer handcuffs himself to a suicidal woman, telling her that if she goes, well, he's gonna go along with her. This man desperately needed to catch a train and was running for it. Until he spotted this elderly woman, he stopped what he was doing just to help her out with the couple bags she had in her hands. A store owner shared his electricity after Hurricane Sandy. This enabled many people to power up their cell phones and call their loved ones to let them know that they were safe and sound. A stranger donates a full set of tires with an explanation written in these words. "You do not know me, but I saw that you needed some tires for your truck, and I wanted to do something nice for a stranger because one day a stranger did the same for me. The receipt is in the envelope, and all you have to do is go by Warehouse Tire on 3rd Street and ask for Stephen Hodges, and they will be put on for free. All I ask is that one day you do something nice for a complete stranger yourself." Turkish protesters helped a stray dog who was accidentally tear-gassed from the riot control. They used water to flush them out and restore the poor dog's sight. This woman buys two meals, one for herself and then one for this homeless man. They then sit and enjoy lunch together while they talk about each other's lives. This man notices that it's raining outside and that these elderly women may be parked a little bit too far. He then proceeds to pick up the table umbrella big enough for all of them and escorts them all the way there.
Friends, I'm going to stop here because our time is fast spent. I want to encourage us. Do an act of kindness this week. Demonstrate the love of God. The love of God is not in words. The love of God is in action. Is in action. The Bible says it doesn't matter what I do if I don't have love. I'm a sounding gong. I'm a sounding gong. A lot of people, even in church, I can guarantee you, as soon as service is over, some people, they just head straight for the door. They don't want to interact with anybody. Don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to get involved with anybody. I'm just here to do my own thing. I've had the message. That's good. I'm out. How about you stop somebody, stop today, shake somebody's hand, give someone a hug. If they look good, which I believe they do, tell them they look good. When I saw Dr. Bode's tie this morning, it reminded me of the bow tie that I've been trying to learn how to tie. And still cannot. I learned it, but I didn't follow through. You know, I said, that looks good, man. That looks good. It doesn't cost you anything. Please rise to your feet this afternoon. I want us to sing this song. Come in to my heart. Come in to my heart. Come in to my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today.
Come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus.
The Bible says everywhere Jesus went, he was doing good. Everywhere he went, he saw the blind, he healed the blind. He saw the people hungry, he gave them food. He saw the lame, he healed the lame. He raised the dead. Everywhere he went, he showed acts of kindness. Why don't you pray this afternoon? Say, Father, beginning from right now,
let me live in a
way
and manner
that will show forth your love. In acts of kindness, in the name of Jesus. Just go ahead and talk to the Lord for about a minute or so. That this week, God will use you to make an indelible mark in somebody else's life. Beginning right now. Beginning right now. Beginning right now. When we come to church, we all look pretty. Believe me, our stories are not the same. Our stories are not the same. There are people that are here this morning that are in pain, but they came to church anyway because they know they will find succor in church. Will God use you? Would you let God use you to touch such a person today? In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Jehovah, we give you praise. King of glory, we magnify your name. Be thou exalted forever and ever. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that in and through us, your love will be expressed. That, Lord, we will be the arm and the feet and the mouth for Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we will show acts of kindness towards our brothers, towards our sisters, even towards strangers, people that we don't know. Daddy, please help us in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, as we bring this service to a close, Lord, I pray that as we leave this afternoon, Father, let your word continue to expound in our hearts. Amen. By your spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, as you create opportunities for us, even to show the love of Christ, Lord, I pray that you will grant us the grace that we will not miss up or pass up on those opportunities in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. Lord, we declare the week blessed in the name of Jesus. We declare yes as answers to our prayers in the name of Jesus. We declare amen concerning our requests in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Surely his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Scripture of the month.
Chapter
18. CJ, come. Chijoke. Are you looking back? There's no two CJs in this church. Tony, please come.